What Not the Podcast, Lent Up Early Edition. Pastor Brian Wolfmuller here, March 13th, year of our Lord 2022, second Sunday in Lent, what the old timers used to call reminiscery. It's nice when the days have a Latin name. Remember, you remind you you're part of something. Anyhow, hope you're on your way to church, that the Lord has his kindness and love for you. If you don't have a church, there's a feature on the website, wolfmuller.co, find a church. You send a note there, your zip code, and we got a team of people who look for a church close by, or your city, or wherever you are in the world. This is not only for people in the U.S., but all throughout the world. They're helping track down churches for people, if we can. You know, sometimes there's nothing close by, but it's good to be able to go to your pastor's Bible study this morning. Anyhow, here's a little reflection on Psalm 5, and then answering a question about why does the Lord send the serpent to the bottom of the sea in Amos chapter 9. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Psalm 4, which comes up all the time. Here's a devotion, by the way. Psalm 4 comes up all the time because it's the evening psalm. I will lie down and sleep in peace. You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's a beautiful psalm. I'm going to preach on it a little bit today, by the way, but Psalm 5 is the morning hymn. So night first, that's the Hebrew way, Psalm 4, and then morning next, Psalm 5, which says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. I like that King part. For to you I will pray, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. I was thinking about verse 7, which reads, as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. This idea to come into the Lord's house in the multitude of his mercy. It's fantastic. I hope you're on your way to church this morning. And I hope that you will find yourself worshiping the Lord in the multitude of mercy. People ask me, Pastor, why is it that when we hear the absolution, our sins are forgiven, that we immediately pray, Lord, have mercy, and then we have the Lord's Supper, and we have the gospel, which forgives our sins. Doesn't it work the first time? Why so much forgiveness? And I think this verse kind of captures it. I was working on it this week with this idea of the minimal, kind of minimalist theological aesthetic of evangelicalism that wants to pursue the sort of lowest common denominator of salvation. A little article about that on the blog, by the way, but I think probably we should just read this verse. We come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. The Lord's mercy is multitudinous. The Lord's mercy is generous. The Lord's mercy is overflowing. There's more, the Lord brings more forgiveness than you bring sin. The Lord brings, the price the Lord pays for your redemption is more than what's needed. It's an overflow. It's an abundance. So that you are made rich in the Lord's mercy and kindness. God be praised. God be praised for that. Here's a question from Dana, who asks, I don't expect we can know much about a holy God who is our creator, except what he tells us about himself. But I don't think he minds when we question something we come across that causes us to doubt his existence. So, for example, Amos 9, verses 2 to 3 reads, if they dig into Sheol, and there shall my hand take them. If they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. If they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, from there I will search them out and take them. And if they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. In these verses, he says he'll go and get them from the depths of Sheol to the top of the mountains, but he can't go get them at the bottom of the sea, so he sends a serpent to bite them. Obviously, God or a God can do anything he wants, and I question things with a sinful human mind, but this sounds weird to me. Is he unable to or unwilling to go to the bottom of the sea? What does this tell us about him? I know it's a bit of a weird question, but I've listened to you for a long time. I think you probably have the best shot at answering it. Well, I don't know about that, Dana, but thank you. Danny continues, I'm glad for Carrie that you've recovered so well from your illness. That's your wife's name, right? If God doesn't exist, who do we thank for that blessing? Thanks, and look forward to hearing you talk about this, Dana. Well, Dana, thank you. Yeah, I'm glad for Carrie, too, that I got better. It's mostly, I mean, I've forgotten that I was sick. Every once in a while, I remember. I'm glad that the Lord restored me to health so I could try to bless and help the family and so forth. Anyhow, this question is great because it has to do with how do we read the scriptures. In this section of Amos chapter 9, the Lord is saying, I'm going to destroy Israel, and you're not going to be able to get away from it. So verse 1, he who flees from them shall not get away. He who escapes shall not be delivered. And then the Lord goes through all the various options of escaping. If you go to hell, Sheol, if you climb to heaven, if you go to the top of the mountain, if you go to the bottom of the sea. So it's covering all the extremes. And in a poetic language here, the Lord is saying, I'm going to find you. Now, it's curious that last one is really interesting. If you go to the bottom of the sea, I'll command the serpent to bite them. Well, who would think that they could live at the bottom of the sea? I mean, if the Lord can't get there, certainly no people are going to live down there. So that's certainly not the case. But the sea is always, it's not only the sea, the ocean, these big, massive expanses of water, but it's also the place of chaos, the place of kind of loss of control. It's the place where things are risky, you know, especially in the ancient world. You know, once you sort of push off from shore, you're driven this way and that by the winds and the waves, and there's always this great risk of what's going to happen. And so people think, well, maybe I'll be able to go to this godless place in the sea. And the Lord says, no, even there, the serpents will come after you. Now, the great sea serpents, often called Leviathan, were these great, almost mythical creatures. You know, all the old maps have these serpents and these dragons in the picture. Job talks about that. The Psalms talk about that, that the Leviathan is there in the sea, and that this is the like the ocean, it's the creature that is fearful to humanity, because we can't fight or hook or survive the Leviathan. But even if we go to the depths of the sea, the Lord says, I'll just send the Leviathan, who's my servant, and he'll go and bite the people. So that's the idea, is that the Lord can't be escaped. Now, for the flip side of this, and really the text that Amos is preaching on in a really quite wonderful way is Psalm 139, this beautiful psalm of King David, where he talks about how that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And how can we flee from the Lord's presence? This is verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to you. Now, this is the comforting part of God's presence. Amos is talking about the destructive part of God's presence. In other words, if I'm trying to run away from the Lord, I can't do it. But no matter where we are, the Lord is there with us. So, Dana, I hope that's helpful for you in reflecting on this, God's omnipresence and his power. And how, apart from Christ, that's a frightful thing. But in Christ, it's a wonderful comfort. In fact, we we cling to those promises. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. The Lord is with us. Oh, God be praised for that. We also got a message from Big Steve.
If our message is used on the podcast, do we get Table Talk Radio points?
No Table Talk Radio points, Steve, but if you sign up for Wednesday Whatnot, we do a free book giveaway every month, which is worth something. Hey, thanks for the message, and you guys can leave a message too. If you go to wolfmuller.co, audio, Whatnot the podcast, there's a button, leave a message. And it will take you to the place where Steve obviously got to. And I think that when I use the segment in the recording, it actually will send you a note. That's kind of nice. Then you won't miss it. So go there, leave your messages there, and send your questions also, wolfmuller.co/contact, and we'll keep in touch. That'll do it for the Lent Up Early edition for today. God be praised. It's up real early because of the time change. Whew. You know, I was thinking about this. There's three spiritual disciplines that show up kind of in lists when Luther's talking. It's from the book of Acts, but watching, prayer, and fasting. So Lent is a time of fasting. We don't eat or drink or skip meals or whatever. Prayer, we know that. That's all the time. We're praying to the Lord. But watching is a curious one. I think it means staying up late to pray, staying up all night to pray, waking up early to pray. It's like a form of sleep fasting for spiritual discipline, which I suppose is what I'm working on this Lent. I'm working on the watching. I was thinking about it driving to church this morning. If someone has insomnia or trouble sleeping or wakes up in the middle of the night when the Lord appoints the night shift to you for prayer, that he's made you a watcher, which is, I think that's just cooler to say than saying I've got insomnia. The Lord has appointed a watch for me. Anyway, think about that. The government has appointed a watch for us today by taking away that hour of sleep. Well, we can praise the Lord for it. And thanks for being part of the fun here with the Whatnot the Podcast. Love to get your feedback. Again, that's all at the website, wolfmuller.co/contact. You can get a hold of me there. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Till then, the Lord's peace be with you.